This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate, hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, we're back with a special Halloween slash election themed episode.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be breaking down your local Senate race and telling you how to vote.
I mean, I think the vote should be obvious. I guess we never formally endorsed a candidate, so.
Oh, should we do that?
We're like the Washington Post. We're like, oh, I just like can't be bothered. Like, sorry.
We would formally like to endorse the fact that you do vote and that you do vote for Kamala Harris. And if you feel like you're going to vote for Trump, then we endorse you not voting.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good voting plan for all involved.
If you're going to vote for Kamala, go vote. If you're going to vote for Trump, go to the swimming pool. Go get an ice cream. You know, like, life is short. Go do something fun. You don't want to wait in that line. Boo.
Yeah. Matt's so smart. He's become so politically engaged that you need to listen to him on all things. So.
Yes.
I endorse his message of endorsement.
Perfect. Great. Love.
So we're done. Thanks. Have a happy Halloween. Just kidding. I can't wait for the election to be over. I feel like Halloween has taken a century to get here and is basically over now because where do you fall on the debate? I've seen this all over TikTok of like, oh my gosh, the Halloween parties shouldn't be last weekend. They should be the weekend after Halloween since Halloween's a Thursday. And I'm like, No. Halloween is October, period, the end. You can't push it into November ever.
I feel like it's like Christmas. Like you can have Christmas parties before Christmas. You don't have Christmas parties after Christmas. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like the season ends with the thing.
Yes.
It's like, award season, you know, like you can have an award show before the Oscars, you can't have an award show after the Oscars.
The Oscars are the
end date, and that's how Halloween works. I do think that there's one exception to that, and that is if Halloween falls on a Friday night, you can have a Halloween party on Saturday night as well.
I don't know, even then, it just gives me something like wrinkles.
Like, I would not do that, but I think that is like a suitable option because otherwise the only really day you could celebrate Halloween is that Friday night, because obviously you're not going to have a Halloween party like the Saturday before Halloween if Halloween's on a Friday. So that I understand. But like this year, what? Halloween's on a Thursday?
Thursday.
It's like, no.
Yeah.
There's no
I hear you, but if there's a Halloween invite and it says November something, I'm like, absolutely not. Sorry. Goodbye. No.
Yeah. Well,
I don't care if it's like at midnight on November 1st. It's just not, it's a no for me. Not that I'm going to Halloween parties anyways, but I'm just like, guys, I'm sorry. Like, you should have gotten your festivities in. You can now do something Thursday and wait for next year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, we're really coming in with like the hard stances, and I admire us for that.
Yeah.
We are P.S. You're Right from now on.
P.S. You're Right. But only if you voted for Kamala Harris. I guess while we're just covering election-related things. So I went to Staten Island yesterday, I guess. Yeah, on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And because I'm doing this thing, which I'm not sure I've talked about on the podcast, but the New York Times did an article that was like the 57 best, like most iconic sandwiches in New York. And me in my sort of post chemotherapy, like, what am I have to do with my time? Hayes was like, oh, I'm going to try to eat all of these sandwiches. This is going to be a fun thing for me, which it has been fun and has forced me to go to some new neighborhoods that I haven't been to. But there are two sandwiches that were in Staten Island. And so I was like, okay, I got to go and get these. So yesterday, me and one of my friends, like, took the ferry over, took the train, like, walked around. We saw Audre Lorde's house. We went to a lighthouse museum. Like, it was a very fun, cute day. But it just so happened that the ferry ride back was perfectly timed to when the Trump rally in Madison Square Garden was about to start. And so we were on the ferry with lots of Trump people with their like little MAGA hats.
Oh my God.
And Staten Island, I think, is the most Republican of the boroughs. So it was a little spooky to see. In general, I never see Trump stuff. Like, I think people in New York, even if they are voting for Trump, know better than to like wear a Make America Great hat around. And I think tourists are like afraid. They've all seen one too many like TikTok video of somebody
getting punched for no reason.
Yeah, that they aren't doing it. But there was a a sort of fervor in the air yesterday.
That's uncomfy. Were you guys, did you feel okay? Were you bothered?
I it was just sort of odd to have them so out in the open. Like, I know that this obviously is not the same, but it does feel, it did feel slightly like when you see a like Ku Klux Klan like outfit or whatever of like, oh, like you're admitting to doing this? Like, this is shocking. Of like, oh, like you are just out in the open wearing this Trump hat in New York City. Like, this is crazy to me because you're a horrible person. So, but yeah, so there was that. But on the plus side with the election, Beyonce endorsed Kamala Harris, and then Donald Trump had something to say about it at his rally. And then I saw a TikTok video that was, you know how they used to take viral like YouTube clips and turn them into songs? It was like, It was a TikTok clip of Donald Trump talking about Kamala dancing with Beyonce, and they had sort of like worked it into a little ditty and then put it over a Beyonce beat. And I was like, wait, this is sort of catchy. I am sort of enjoying this. So
cute.
Did you see the Beyonce endorsement? Did you care at all about that?
I like saw it. Like, really, honestly, my therapist and I decided that I'm disengaging from the social, like, political aspect of things. Like, I'm not as involved online, you know? I'm making my circles, my circle of influence aware of my beliefs and whatnot. But as far as taking time to, like, watch debates or, like, watch rallies or I just can't I'm disappointed by the whole system. So I saw the headline, I saw a single line from her, and I it was good. I mean, she didn't perform, it was really just like a straightforward political endorsement, like speech from what I saw, with her and her mom
and Kelly Rowland in a very large Kelly Rowland,
good for her. And I mean, I honestly was surprised that Kamala even went to Texas, because that's just like never ever a battleground state for Democrats.
Shelby, we watched Red, White, and Royal Blue. We covered that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, Texas, well, now the tides are turning.
Uma Thurman won Texas, and that's how she won the election. So
I think Kamala HQ, that little Gen Z front, was like, Kamala, we know what you got to do. Red, White, and Royal Blue told us there's no such thing as a failure if you get Texas. So maybe she'll do it. I would be just shocked and awed. It would be a glorious moment just for the sheer wildness of it. I mean, I think mainly she was probably there because it's a close race between finally ousting Ted Cruz. Which would be a huge win and great for Texans everywhere, since he's a total clown. So hopefully that helped. But if she also manages to bring that purple, you know, color up, then that's great. I'd welcome that.
Yeah. No.
You know what's funny though about viral videos is my 3-year-old daughter, she heard us singing the SNL skit Domingo, like the Careless Way, had to explain straight from Domingo, and now she's just been singing it nonstop.
Interesting.
Which is honestly so cute, but also like, wait a second. She heard us say it enough because it was stuck in our heads that, like, suddenly she was, like, skipping through the house just singing, like, came all this way, had to explain straight. What is it? It's, like, direct from Domingo. Yeah, the direct from Domingo line really captured her heart, so.
Wow.
I know.
That is great. I shudder to think about things my children would say if I had any at this point in life, because the filter's not there, and, yeah, you know.
I know. Rob was like, well, let's watch it. And then Penny did not care at all about the skit, right? Like, she, yeah, was like, this is boring. It's, like, way too long of a skit, honestly. But that line, it lives in her heart forever.
SNL is really catching the zeitgeist this year in a way that I feel like it hasn't in a while. Between, yeah, that and the Ariana Grande gif of her with the, like, bowl cut, like, yeah, Little Lord Fauntleroy look.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely a vibe.
Yeah, she had a good episode.
The political stuff, I feel like, obviously always does well. I watched that Jane, whatever her Weekend Update song was, like 40 times.
Oh, yeah, that's divided the internet for sure. But
loved. I thought it was so funny. And, yeah, but that's because I'm probably, like, you know, very Gen Z, very cool.
Yeah, yeah, you're very hip, very young. You get it.
Humor, you know. I'm not watching Two Broke Girls or whatever millennials are watching. So I don't even know what millennials are watching, because I'm so hip and I'm so watching. I'm, you, yeah, know, I'm just, it's just me, Kamala HQ, and Jane Wickline. Is that what her last name is?
I don't know. The TikTok SNL girly.
Yes.
Well, did you see, catching up on other Gen Z stars, did you see Chapel Roan at the Olivia Rodrigo red carpet? What are your thoughts? I think this is going to age you real fast. Got to keep you humble, Mr. Millennial Man.
Do I think that what she's doing is, like, correct? I guess so. Like, I do like the fact that she's holding these people accountable and sort of, like, speaking truth to power in a way. But she is just very annoying for whatever reason. Like, I'm like, can we do one event now without sort of, you know, some sort of altercation? Well,
okay, let's set the scene for those who aren't as online, yes, as us. Okay, because we have to report the news. That's the whole point.
Right, that's true.
So Chapel Roan was at Olivia Rodrigo's premiere for her concert video that's coming out to Netflix this weekend. And halfway through the red carpet, she just, like, zeroes in on this paparazzi and was like, hey, you were rude to me the other day. You said something rude, and, like, walked up to him, like, finger pointed, and was basically like, you owe me an apology, like, for something that had been done prior to this specific event. And so there's a lot of finger wagging, and people don't, they either like it or they don't, and I'm guessing you don't.
I mean, like, I think if this was a one-off thing, you know, like, if this was the first time that she'd done this, and it's like, oh, this photographer has been rude to her or whatever, and she's saying something about it, I like it in a vacuum. I guess I'm just sort of, I don't, like, I feel like Chapel Roan need, like, something has to happen in this situation. I'm like,
you just want your pop girlies to sit there and be pretty.
No, but I think, like, well, I was talking about this with somebody, and they said that they're like, once Chapel Roan, like, sort of becomes a normal level of famous, rather than, like, sort of on her, like, crazy, like, star burning trajectory that she's on right, mm-hmm, now, like, hopefully sort of her mental health and everything, and we'll be able to settle down and she'll feel better about stuff and whatever. And, like, you know, won't have to cancel shows and that kind of thing. So I do think that is some of it. Like, it has to be so mentally overwhelming to be on this situation where she's, you know, went from, like, relative obscurity to insane stardom overnight. But yeah, I also just, like, I think about like how Lady Gaga dealt with the the rumors that she had a penis when she was sort of on the come up, and how she mostly just like ignored them. And then, and I know this isn't like a one-to-one example, but I do feel like that Chappell Roan might benefit from sort of a, I don't know, maybe like subtler approach to some of these things, and not just like shouting at people on the red carpet.
Okay, but line. To be fair, I don't think she shouted. She, you know, she did in the sense that it was a loud situation, but it wasn't like, I don't feel like she caused a scene in a traditional like pop star off the rails sort of way, right? There was no like umbrella throwing. There was no like temper tantrum. It was very much a person just going up and, you know, holding someone accountable. And I think it's, I'm so fascinated by this because I honestly, like, I'm not bothered by Chappell Roan, and you just will never be able to make me hate her. I agree that there's like a conversation maybe about how the younger generation doesn't code switch as easily as us and the older, who like know how to turn it on for like a work event, or know how to like, you know, button it up around a bad boss or whatever. And yes, there's like pros and cons to a generation that's like, F that. Wait, like,
is that true? Like, is that a Gen Z thing? Oh, yeah. But they're not. And why do we think that is?
I think it's this like whole idea of like my mental health matters, my emotional state matters, and like I won't be told how to behave. And so like, I don't know, I get a lot of this because, you know, I'm in like in recruitment, and so there's like a lot of discourse around like kids these days going into corporate jobs and not being able to like either act professional or sort of show up and do things that you don't want to do all the time. Anyways, and it's like, I think the discourse always ends up being like, oh, when I was a kid, and I don't care about that, but I do find the Chappell Roan thing so fascinating because she is this huge star, right? And we've never had to like work so hard to justify making someone famous, because now everyone's like, oh my gosh, like she's kind of the worst, but she's not a diva in the traditional sense of like a Madonna or Cher or someone old school who's like, oh, I just want the things, and like Mariah Carey rolling up with her long list of like diva antics. Like, this is just someone who's like so pissed off of being told what to do that she's just constantly reacting. And so I don't mind it. And I think it's like everyone who's like, oh, it's not the time or place, like Olivia Rodrigo didn't seem to care, you know. And I think it's just gonna be interesting to, you know, as you and I are on the cusp of like, you know, millennial and like Gen Z, and like we're really with it, like having to understand like what is just our nervousness of like the kids these days trope, and what is like a real feeling of like, wow, she handled that poorly and she shouldn't be that way. You know, it's just a very interesting, it's interesting.
I guess.
And the woman of it all is fascinating too, because like in the same week, there were so many positive news stories of Tom Holland, like bursting through the paparazzis to rescue Zendaya. And I think that's telling too, that that's immediately a positive thing of like, oh yes, like he stands up for his girl, and like look at him, like he rescued her. Like, I think it's just, we should recognize maybe the patterns where we're excited by someone asserting themselves or demanding a boundary be respected, and annoyed by others.
I guess sort of two things, I think, with the Chappell Roan situation. Like, I really like her music. I really like her and what she's done. I think that, one, I'm slightly concerned from, like, a PR perspective of, is this going to cost her a career and, you know, lots of great music and stuff that she could have had otherwise, which maybe, like, that isn't something that I should be concerned about, and she can sort of make her own decisions on that front. But then I'm also slightly concerned about like her just like doing okay, and whether these are symptoms of a like a healthy person in Hollywood, and they just look so different than other Hollywood people, because most Hollywood people are kind of like vapid, or they've been like so you know, worked through the system a million times that they can't sort of stand up for themselves, or if this is something where she's just kind of not coping well with this like immediate rise to fame and is, you know, sort of handling these situations like, I don't know, not necessarily poorly, but just like in a way that seems unconventional. So I want what is best for Chapel Roan, but
right,
yeah, hopefully this is, you know, the best, like that she's handling everything well and that she's doing this because it's like, you know, sort of conscious choices and things rather than like being overwhelmed and lashing out at people.
I mean, I think this has been her. I think she's said multiple times that if she can't, like, if she's supposed to just sit still, look pretty, she's not going to be enjoying her musical career, and it's like not worth it to her. So it's like, I think this is her sort of being like her take it or leave it moment, and not necessarily a mental breakdown. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's
She's a new. Because there are people like Azealia Banks, who's obviously very different, but is like, you know, just saying things, and it's like, okay, like she has a fans who love her for that. So
yeah,
maybe this is just Chapel sort of figuring out her core group who are very into this.
Yeah, and this, like me.
The paparazzi people will realize, like, okay, wait, we act like if Chapel is going to be at this event, you're going to be getting shit together. Like, can't be yelling at this girl.
Yeah.
Or it will be a viral meme and you won't be happy about it.
The other story I saw was Hugh Jackman soft launching a relationship, but not with a dude. Thoughts?
Yeah,
feelings?
I also saw this and I was like, what?
Because he and his wife divorced was it last year or just this summer? Just this spring?
No, I think it was last year, because I think it was in, like, amid the Music Man stuff.
Oh, yeah. And that was a year ago. Yeah, so they divorced, and there were all these blind items and all these theories, which we discussed and enjoyed about him going to be coming out as gay or bisexual or whatever. And yet the news this week is that Sutton Foster, his co-star of Music Man, who also just announced a divorce, is actually the one that he's in a relationship with, and that they will be starting to be more out and proud now that they're both legally unbound.
Yeah, like, I guess so. I don't, but then part of me is like, okay, if all of these Timothy, or I'm like, where did all these rumors come from? Because I feel like New York is just flooded with rumors of like, oh yeah, I have a friend who's like hooked up with Hugh Jackman. Yeah. And then also, did his book come out? Because part of it? The fact that he had this memoir that was coming out that was going to be like, ooh, like, finally, I could be my true self or whatever.
none of that yet.
And Sutton Foster, God bless her soul, does feel like someone who could be in sort of a fake relationship with a gay person. So I'm also a little bit like,
You're like, oh, he found another beard until that book can come out.
Yeah, exactly. Like he needed to sort of like he has a big cover coming out of like Vanity Fair, and he has to keep sort of people off the scent of him being gay until he can release it.
Just because, like, you really think, I don't know. Yeah, the whole like secretly closeted just seems more and more like unnecessary at this point. But
I mean, yes, but like, who can say with some of these people? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, Taylor Swift trotted out a new bisexual colored dress, so you know the gaylers are saying.
Like, she can't, for whatever reason, can't come out.
She can't shut it down yet.
She's gay, so, and I believe that in my heart of hearts. Okay, wait. I have one more fun story that I need to talk about, which is the Timothy Chalamet lookalike competition. Have you know the video? Were you following along?
Yeah,
this?
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay, so there was a mysterious poster that was put up like back, I don't know, maybe a month ago, that was printed out and hung up around, I think mostly like the West Village, that announced a Timothy Chalamet lookalike competition with a $50 prize, and there was a QR code on this thing that like went to a Partiful page. Somehow or another, this blew up online via like TikTok and Twitter and whatnot. And so the Partiful got like thousands of people who decided that they were going to come to this lookalike competition. So yesterday, while I was in Staten Island and while the Trump people were getting ready for their rally, the Timothy Chalamet lookalike competition started in Washington Square Park, which is in the West Village. And I guess it was just massive, like hundreds and hundreds of people, including tons of Timothy Chalamet lookalikes. And they did eventually crown somebody, and that person did get $50. But in the process, number one, Timothy Chalamet himself actually showed up to the lookalike competition, which I think is very fun and like very good sort of PR branding on his part. But then also because of like disorderly conduct and the fact that they were like had a giant group without a permit and blah, 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 like the organizer got fined $500 and four different people got arrested. So I was like, what an unruly, like weird event that it's like we're arresting people who look like Timothy Chalamet. Timothy Chalamet is there. And then Timothy Chalamet has a mustache now because he's playing some character or another in a movie. And so then people were like, Timothy Chalamet looks less like Timothy Chalamet than some of the Timothy Chalamet lookalikes do at this. It was a real great sort of pop culture moment, I think, that was very funny.
Yeah, I hope Timmy pays those fines for that kid, the showrunner.
I'm sure that is being taken care of. I don't think that poor kid is having to pay $500. I want to say he was like 18 or something, the kid who planned it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Very random. I love those weird things that just take off for no reason.
I know.
You just know every like brand ambassador marketing person is like, oh, we've got to start doing these lookalike contests. That's what gets them. And it's like, no, it's just this magical madness that like strikes at the right time with the right fancy. It's just so unpredictable.
No, because I've seen things that were like other lookalike competitions where they're already trying to do them. And it's like, oh, yeah, nobody cares anymore.
So cringe. Okay, well, love it or hate it?
Yes, please. I'm like, now what was I talking about though? Because
which movie is coming out next week that I can talk about now so we don't do a full episode
don't
about
have to
it?
Do it. Yeah, I'm like, oh, Wolverine.
You're
and
like, Wicked actually was a great film.
No, I haven't seen Wicked or Gladiator yet. So I'm in the dark with everybody else on those movies, unfortunately for me.
Okay, well, I can go because I binge watched Heartstoppers after our discussion. Like rom comedy teen show. I thought there were only two seasons. Turns out there's three. Your girl caught up. And it was very cute. It's very cute. I don't know Brits are just better at like a really inclusive, fun, safe, happy story, because I feel like in the US we just get caught in these CW storylines where everything that can go wrong does go wrong and you're kind of miserable for half of it. But this was just like really charming, and they are both very talented actors, and the first season is definitely like the best because it's like the traditional, you know, one of them is an out gay kid and the other one realizes like, oh, wait, I have a crush on this boy. I must be bisexual. And so it's like his journey to coming out and being like nervous to come out. And it's very cute. And then there's just so much to love about it with like this cast of characters. There's lots of trans representation, lesbian, gay, like non-binary. Like it's the full gamut, but it never feels inauthentic. And it's really never like issue based. Like yes, there's a trans character, but it's not like her whole identity. And yes, they talk about safe sex, but it's not like a whole PSA, you know? So I really did like the show. I'm late to it, but like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, people love this. And I think people also love Young Royals, which is a like Danish show maybe, or Swedish show that I think is kind of like Heartstopper mixed with Red, White, and Royal Blue, if I'm understanding correctly. Maybe that's the next one on your list there, Shelby.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no, people have told me nothing but good stuff about this. I just, for whatever reason, have never gotten around to it. And but I'm sure that it scratches some of the itches of like sex education, which I also loved, and it's probably a little bit more raunchy than Heartstopper, but yeah. Okay, I want to discuss The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, the new season that is out, because, so are you watching this at all? Have you watched
this? No.
So The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season 4, which was last year, that was the giant Monica Garcia / Reality Von Teese situation that was like a all-timer reality TV moment where one of the cast members ended up being the person who was running this like fake account who was posting gossip stuff about all of the housewives. And somehow or another, she got cast on the show without like producers realizing that. And then one of the other housewives like found out. Crazy. But then they fired that woman from the cast. And so coming into season 5, I think people were worried that the show wasn't going to be very good because they'd gotten rid of the person who was leading the most of the drama from last season. But this season has really been so incredible through the first bunch of episodes. Like, everybody is bringing their A game. There's some kooky characters. There's some good drama. There's Lisa Barlow, who is one of the OGs and is very annoying and who I hate, has been pegged with spreading rumors that another of the housewives' jewelry businesses is just repackaged Alibaba necklaces. And she got confronted in the most recent episode and had a massive meltdown at a Mob Wives themed party that was just incredible to watch. But I think the most interesting thing about this season, which I've like never really seen on reality TV, is there's this woman who's like, I don't know, like in her 40s or 50s. Her name is Brittany. She's like a friend of the housewife. So she's not a full blown cast member, but she's, you know, tagging along. And she's at the beginning of the season, she's dating this guy who's one of the Osmonds, you know, like Marie and Donnie Osmonds, like somehow related to that family. And she is obsessed with this guy and is like, oh yeah, like we're dating. He like loves me. But then the rest of the housewives are like, well, we heard he was hooking up with this other girl. And on all of your Instagram captions and everything, he just calls you his best friend. And he refuses to hold your hand in public. Oh, no. And he only is calling you best friend to your face. And she's like, well, like, but that's just what he's like. Like, that's just how he is. Like, no, he actually really does like me. And the other women basically bully her into breaking up with this guy because they're like, he's bad news. He does not care about you. He's hooking up with other people. And she does break up with him, but then is like inconsolable. And for whatever reason, he has agreed to tape episodes on this season. So he is in things where clearly he does not care about her. And she is trying to convince him to get back together with her. And he's like, sort of saying yes, but also not at the same time. And she is crazed and like has to be with a man. She talks about how she goes on 3 dates a day sometimes looking for a boyfriend. And so at one of the points where her and the Osmond guy are broken up, she invites another man to this Mob Wives party. And halfway through the party, the Osmond guy shows up at the party, and it's just peak drama. And to watch this like full grown woman not be able to like realize that this horrible, horrible, horrible man is terrible, and to kind of like keep like hope alive, even when he's giving her these breadcrumbs and is like, oh yeah, like you're just my best friend. You know, I care about you so much as a best friend. And she's like, I think we're dating. And the other housewives are like, no, again, he did not say that. He just said that you were best friends. It's a fascinating relationship to watch. And I'm very excited for the rest of the season. That
sounds very Utah, honestly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I think it is very Mormon-y. So it's, yeah, really everybody this season has a lot of stuff going for them. There's also a plot line where one of the women's, like she was a Mormon, she got pregnant, she got kicked out of the church, she had her baby, she raised the baby. And then just so happens that on the show, she realizes that her, like the baby's father, that whole family is friends with one of the other housewives. So that's been a lot of drama already. It's a juicy season. And yeah. I would highly recommend.
Yeah, I'm proud. You know, Utah's really serving up the drama with that and Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Like, look at that. Representation matters. Happy to hear it.
And supposedly on the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, there's like one that's married to a gay person, but that... Or that everybody's like, oh, this guy's definitely gay and she doesn't realize it yet. I haven't watched the show, but I'm like giving Hugh Jackman.
That's tough.
Energy.
That's a lot of, there's a lot of, it's hard to tell. And that's not to, I feel like a lot of Mormon men, even the straightest of the straight, just have a vibe. And I think it comes from being so, the same energy of feeling closeted is the same energy of the repression it takes to survive the Mormon church.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
It just oozes. But I'm sure there's also statistically likely that one of them. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
Like, I probably had a crush on a boy every year of my life who ended up coming out as gay later on. So.
Wait, did you have a crush on me?
Oh, no.
Rude.
No, sorry.
Rude.
But I did have a crush on a guy at my church during our friendship who has, in fact, come out as gay. So,
yeah. Well, you have good taste, at least.
Yeah. That's what I like to think, for sure. I straightness be damned, you know. but yeah, we'll get to talk more about Mormonism on our Thursday episode, too. The real spooky, spooky bit.
Yes, we're covering Conclave, which is the Pope thriller, or I guess Cardinals and Pope thriller that's going to come out this week. So we get to talk more about religion, which is always fun for Shelby and I. It doesn't bring up any sort of weird baggage that we're carrying. We've fully processed it all, and we are in really good places. So... we'll be discussing Conclave. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys then. Bye.